Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ron Brown, who sells gold and silver. He supports Radio Liberty, and we always enjoy having him with us here in the evenings. Ron, thanks very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Well, tell me, what's happening now? Are people certainly buying gold now? The price has really been knocked down. I saw it closed. It was down about 8:20 this morning. Did it hold there, or did they knock it down even further?
Now, it closed down about a buck, but it's up 13 bucks now in the aftermarket. So what happened earlier this week, Dr. Stan, is there's an investment vehicle out there called index funds, and the ones that in commodities in particular are tied to the futures market. And what they might have is 10 different commodities in the fund, and they would have an allocation for each commodity. So up till early this week, the allocation for gold was 10%. Well, they just arbitrarily lowered the allocation from 10% to 7%, which means all the funds that trade that index have to immediately go out and sell, in that case, 3% of the fund to get it out of gold and go into whatever, the new allocation calls for. So it's just another way of artificially driving the price of gold down.
Well, they certainly are very expert at it, but of course I think this is a wonderful opportunity for people because gold is something that has intrinsic value, whereas of course paper money has no value at all. And of course we've seen time and time again when paper value has gone to its true value, which is worthless, as it is in Zimbabwe today, where they have somewhere between 230 and 260 million percent a year inflation. And people say it could never happen here, but I'd ask why not. After all, it was our government that brought that Marxist government to power in Zimbabwe back in 1980. It is the United States government that has kept the government in power and is still keeping the corrupt government in power, of course, in the name of humanitarian aid, which we don't want the people starving, so we give the food and supplies to the government, who dispenses it to their military so that they can continue their authoritarian regime. But we can't let the average American know that. Oh, no. Our leaders tell us that they're just so concerned about the excesses of Mugabe, we ought to get him out of there, and yet they're keeping him in power by providing aid. This is exactly as we do with the tyrannical dictator over there in North Korea. We can always find an excuse to give him money or oil or food or whatever it would be to keep him in power, but we can't let the American people know that. So anyway, Ron, certainly these are exciting times from a fiscal point of view, and I think the really interesting thing is that now we're finding out, I read an article in the New York Times this evening, where Ben Bernanke says, it's going to take a lot more money. We're going to have to give a lot more money to the big banks. I know a lot of the people are upset about, transferring the money to the banks rather than to industry or to private businesses that need it. But after all, we have to keep the financial system liquid. Well, that's what they told us before when they gave them a couple of hundred billion dollars. And what did they do? Why, of course, they went over and bought toll roads over in Spain. They went over to China and bought up a bank over there. And now Bank of America is saying, oh, no, you've got to give us more money, so we can be liquid, so we can lend to our businesses here. And what they're really doing is intentionally creating this whole problem and transferring the wealth of the American people to the elite few within the banking industry. Some people call them banksters, but they all tie into the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations. You need to get a list. You need to see who the players are. Well, Ron, you go right ahead. Give me your impressions of what's going on today, because, of course, after we've given all this money away, nothing seems to be getting any better.
Well, you know, I get people calling me, especially at the beginning of the year, and they say, what are you projecting for this year? And you know, on the short term, it's very, very confusing because we're basically in uncharted waters now. Never since the 29 Depression have we been in a deflationary momentum that we have now, as wealth is being destroyed across the board. And, of course, back in 1929, we were on a gold standard, and the gold standard restrained the government's ability to just print their way out of the mess, so we had to kind of go through the deflationary collapse, which, of course, created the New Deal, which took us into hyperinflation or into inflation and changed the whole landscape of American politics. But by the same token, the gold standard kept the excesses from getting too large, because whenever they got too bad, the system would go into a recession and they couldn't really stop it. Well, since then, especially since 1971, when we went off of the Bretton Woods Agreement, and any restraint on the creation of money has just totally disappeared. So now, as we go into economic boom and the excesses get too great and a recession is threatened, before the pain can even start to build, the politicians come in and they bail it out. And in other words, they're able to put off the day of reckoning time after time after time, and that's exactly what they've done over the last 30 years. But as I've always said, even the greatest magician eventually runs out of rabbits, and that's what we have going on today. They have created a debt structure that is so massive, and it has become so ridiculous with these crazy creations of debt, you know, these mortgage-backed securities and all the creative things they've done to keep the game going. And they finally run its course, and when the subprime loan deal triggered the collapse, it's just been feeding on itself ever since. And they're really having a tough time stopping it. And that is their challenge today, is to try to print money faster than the markets can destroy it.
And I think the interesting thing, these figures are so hard to really try to comprehend. But the figures, it is estimated that somewhere between $30 and $60 trillion have evaporated. They've evaporated in home values. They've evaporated in stock market values. They've evaporated in business values. And, of course, billionaires have become millionaires, and millionaires are going to wonder what the future holds for them. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon, this evening, is Ron Brown. And people don't understand really what's happened. Suddenly, Harvard, the Harvard Endowment, certainly one of the most wealthy of all the endowments, it had, I think, something like $270 billion. They lost 30% of their endowment this year. They fell to, you know, almost $81 billion in value. The same thing happened to the California a personal retirement fund. They lost 30% of their funding. You look and see what certainly has happened to Warren Buffett, and his Berkshire Hathaway was down 47% at one time this year. Certainly, Kirk Corian, who is a fabled investor, a multi-billionaire, lost 71% of the billions of dollars he put into Ford Motor Company. He had to bail out and take a 71% loss in his investment. He's 91 years old. And his remark was, well, I just lived 1 year too long. Robert Lee, owns a phone company over in Hong Kong. And that phone company was worth $1.4 billion. It lost 97% of its value. And, of course, all this is speculative value. All this speculative money, run up of housing prices artificially, running up of stock market prices artificially, all of this, of course, has come cascading down. And somewhere between $30 and $60 trillion in assets worldwide have just disappeared. And, of course, this is having a profound impact. The minutes of the Federal Reserve the board become available about 3 or 4 weeks after the meeting. So we've had a chance to read the minutes of the Federal Reserve Board in the middle of December. And boy, you think we sound pessimistic. You ought to read what the staff of the Federal Reserve Board is talking about the coming deflation and the prices dropping and the unemployment rising and the house of the price of houses continue dropping, and the whole economy here in the United States is contracting. My contention, this is all being done artificially, and we're seeing a great transfer of wealth from the people to the banking interest. And that is why, even though Congress specifically appropriated $700 billion to be used to take care and to buy up the troubled assets, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, they refused to do what the money had been appropriated for, and they simply gave it to the banks. And the banks are not lending it out, and they say, oh, we're going to have to give them more money. We've just got to give them enough money so that they can bail out, of course, bail out the banks so they can begin lending. But they have no desire to be lending. They're getting the money, and they're keeping the money. And, of course, they're going to put it in fixed assets to enrich themselves. And we are going to have to pick up the tab for all of this. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're out there in the listening audience, would like to give us a call, we'd love to talk to you if you have any thoughts about what's going on. But we're seeing one of the greatest transfers of wealth that has ever occurred throughout all the history of the world. And money is being taken from the average person here in the United States and transferred to the people of great wealth. And they're not only, of course, the $700 billion in the TARP funds, but then there's several trillion dollars that have been transferred by the Fed, and nobody knows where it goes, and the Fed will not tell everybody where it goes. They will not tell Congress where it's gone. There's a congressional oversight panel that was actually appointed by Congress to find out what happened to the TARP funds, and the Treasury Department won't tell them. Their second report was released on the 8th of January. You can get it up on the Internet. And this congressional oversight panel that's trying to find out what's happened to the money is furious. The Treasury won't tell them what they've done with the money. How could you take these billions and billions of dollars, $350 billion of TARP funds, and absolutely refuse to tell Congress what you've done with most of it? Doesn't make sense, does it, Ron?
Well, they're just totally ignoring and the rule of law in this country, and they're basically saying, what are you going to do about it?
And there's nothing you can do about it. They're all going to go out of office. Nobody's going to hold them responsible. The money's going to disappear, and nobody's ever going to try to find out where it went. And the American people are going to feel frustrated. But Ben Bernanke is saying, look, I mean, it's a shame, but we're going to have to put in probably, another $1 trillion or $1.8 trillion. That's what they're talking about now. It's going to take $1.8 trillion. Oh, we just had no idea how bad things were. We're just going to have to give more money to the banks so that they can begin lending. But we gave it to them before, and they didn't begin lending. Why should we think they're going to lend now? They're going to use that money to buy up assets for themselves. And, of course, things that will hold their value as they destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people. And until people understand that this whole scam has been artificially created, and if you've read my newsletters, you'll know how they've done it, by the Fed suddenly beginning to pay interest on the reserves that are deposited by the banks there, and by so doing, they dried up all the money. Ordinarily, they'd hold $8 billion from the private banks, and now they're holding over $500 billion. No wonder there's no money to be lent out to the people. Of course, they've cut off small business loans so that it's almost impossible to get a small business loans. And businesses all across America are going down. We lost 160,000 businesses last year. They're anticipating 200,000 businesses going down this year. The unemployment rate, they talk about 7.2%, but if you take the number of people who've actually had to take the jobs that pay far less, you're up to 13%. If you include the people who've given up looking for jobs, you're talking about 17%, and those are the official government statistics. So many people are out of work today. Ron, what are you hearing about where you live there in Colorado? What's happening to the economy of your state?
Well, it's like every state, maybe ours isn't quite as bad as some states, but Colorado Springs, where I live, just came out and said they're going to have to cut the budget by, I don't remember the exact figure, but it was a rather enormous figure. The state government's got the same problem. They're going to have to cut, I forgot how many billion out of their budget. And so everyone, you know, the tax base of all municipalities and government entities is starting to collapse as people lose jobs, they're certainly not making any profits on their real estate or their stock market investments, so their capital gains taxes are way down. So the tax bases across the board, I think, are just dropping, which threatens, of course, the liquidity of municipal bonds, corporate bonds, and so forth. So the thing just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. So it's going to be interesting to see where this thing goes.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We had a stock market bubble, and it was deflated. We had a housing bubble, and it was deflated. We had an oil bubble, and it deflated. But it looks to me like the next big bubble is going to be the Treasury bonds, and after that, the corporate bonds, and after that, the derivatives, and we're talking about somewhere between $500 trillion and $1 quadrillion in derivatives, and that's going to drag down and destroy the whole economic system and going to impoverish our people. But, of course, believe me, the rich are already positioning themselves. They knew it was going to happen, and a lot of them have their money out of the country knowing full well that this thing is going to just continue cascading down, and property values are going to continue falling, and certainly commercial property is going to continue falling, and eventually it'll influence rents, it'll influence everything. So I think we are witnessing simply a replay of the 1930s, only I fear it's going to be a lot worse. What are your thoughts, Ron? And again, our telephone number, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But basically, of course, where do you think we're going next?
Well, you mentioned the two things that I wanted to talk about tonight. One is the derivatives, and the other is the bond bubble. Let's take the derivatives first to try to kind of put things in perspective. You know, when Lehman Brothers went under, was that about a year ago?
September 15th.
Okay. That scared people so much that when AIG threatened to go under, they had to step in and bail them out. Now, my brother and I figured it out. Today, we're up to $285 billion is what we came up with in bailout money to AIG. Now, AIG has $2 trillion worth of derivatives on their books that they've taken a pretty good beating on trying to get rid of them, and they still have a good portion of them. Morgan Chase just came out today, announced an earnings were down 76%. And they wrote off $2.9 billion in derivative losses, but their total derivative exposure is $80 trillion, not $2 trillion.
And I think it's important. If we're not talking billion, we're talking terrible, terrifying trillion dollars. $80 trillion in derivatives J.P. Morgan Chase is holding, and if they start to cascade down, you will destroy the second largest bank in the United States, second only to Citicorp, which I think is the largest bank in the United States. And they're just hanging on by a thread at the present time. They're going to steal a Smith Barney. They're going to start divesting themselves of all sorts of property just to try to maintain some sort of economic stability. I don't think they're going to succeed. But J.P. Morgan Chase has $80 trillion worth of derivatives. These are uninsured, these are insurance policies without any reserves behind them. And of course, they've insured all sorts of bonds and other things that if they default, then they have to pay for them. I think the $2.9 billion that they've written off so far is minuscule next to what's going to happen when this derivative bubble breaks and the whole house of cards comes showering down. And, of course, remember, you and I are on the hook for AIG, the American Investment Group, the largest insurance company in the world. They've only got $2 trillion in derivatives. How'd you like to be holding stock in a company or bonds at a company with $80 trillion in derivatives? We'll be back here in just a moment with Ron Brown. Give us a call if you have any question or comment. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. You've got to understand we're seeing the end of our financial system as we know it. And something new is in the offing. Henry Kissinger's already talking about it. Read his latest article in the International Herald Tribune about the new world order, the new world financial system. We'll go right ahead, Ron.
Okay, just continuing with this derivative thing. About a month or two ago,
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Essentially zero. In fact, in some instances, you actually have to put out money to buy a treasury bond more than the value of the treasury bond. But that bubble is on the verge of collapse. And then we have the the commercial bond market. Now, the treasury bonds are different than the commercial bonds. The commercial bonds are what backs the industries across America. Now, we talk about the stock market. What people don't understand is that the bond market is 10 times larger than the stock market. And people, of course, buy those bonds because you don't make as much money, but you get a regular interest rate return over a period of years, as long as 10-year bonds, 20-year bonds. And a lot of people can live on that. The only trouble is, of course, when you get inflation, why, of course, you may be getting a 6% return on your bonds, but if the inflation rate is 11 or 12%, which it is, you're losing 6% every single, at least 5% every single month. So sooner or later, people are going to start bailing out of bonds. And then, of course, when they start bailing out of bonds, why, the price is going to start dropping, just as they're going to start dropping on the treasury bonds very, very soon. So you pick up the story there,
Joe. Yeah, when most people don't realize that when interest rates go down, bond values go up. So in a time of bond rally, people are very happy they're making good money, just appreciation on the bonds plus the interest rates. But the corollary to that works too. Once interest rates bottom and they can't go any lower and they start back up, then bond values start down, which creates the flight out of the bonds, which creates a supply-demand difference, and then bond values start dropping, and then you have a in 1979, the bond market dropped 55%. Most people don't realize that. But anyone who was in bonds back in that inflationary period got nearly wiped out. So that's where we're heading. And also add to that the fact that the China and the rest of the world, who's been buying our bonds for the last 20, 30 years, keeping this game going, they're getting fed up with what we're doing. They're seeing us devalue the currency, so they're trying to dump those bonds. In fact, I would say in this bond rally, when people are buying bonds, the speculators, China and places like that are probably dumping those bonds to buy up gold mines, copper mines, lead mines, or whatever. You know, they're trying to convert their dollar holdings into something that's tangible and real because they know the future of the U.S. dollar.
And I think it's so important that people understand that paper money is simply paper money. And, of course, when eventually, sooner or later, it's going to turn to its real value, which is nothing. So what you want to do, of course, is get out of the paper money into something of intrinsic value, and that is commodities, something that has intrinsic value. This is what Jimmy Rogers talks about. And whether you buy commodities above ground or simply buy them in the ground, they will maintain their value, or they will maintain some value as the value of paper money approaches zero. So people have to begin, thinking what lies ahead. A lot of people have done very well in treasury bonds, and they're just sitting there, of course. But, of course, since we're not having deflation now, you don't want to be in the TIPS. You don't want to be in the treasury index. Bonds are indexed for inflation. You'd rather be in the regular bonds. As we start getting into inflationary spiral, you'd want to get into the bonds that are indexed for inflation. But if you stop and realize, of course, the inflation will wipe out the value of the bond, and it could literally do it overnight. Inflation can suddenly surge, from what they tell us. You know, it's very low, but it's really about 11% now. If you go to John Williams' Shadow Statistics, the real inflation rate, the government is simply lying to us about the inflation rate, just as they lied to us about the weapons of mass destruction that we had to have that in Iraq to justify the attack, or the fact that we went into Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden, but oh shucks, we just never bothered to get him. And then when he escaped to Pakistan, it was all right to invade Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden, but we couldn't invade Pakistan to get Osama bin Laden, who is responsible for killing all those people in New York, or was he? I mean, is it possible we've been lied to about other things, about Jessica Lynch? You remember the story about the courageous young woman soldier, Jessica Lynch, who was fighting there to the last bullet and captured by the Iraqis? It was all a lie. The story of Pat Tillman, the courageous football player who gave up very good $3 million contract with Arizona to go off to fight for his country, and they told us how he died leading a charge up the hill, and it was all a lie. He was actually killed with 3 bullet holes to his forehead. at close range. And, of course, the people who did the autopsy said this is obviously a case of murder. But, of course, they weren't allowed to investigate it. And the question is, who killed Pat Tillman? Why did they lie to his family about his being as the hero when he was killed at close range by his own people? There's so much we're not getting the truth about. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we do hope our listeners out there will check everything we say, because it's all up on the Internet. If we ever say anything that you find out is not true, why, you certainly want to just tell us, but we try to check everything we say ahead of time. And certainly, Ron, as we see this whole house of cards coming down, certainly, when do you think the corporate bond bubble is going to begin to burst?
I suspect it's already showing higher interest rates than the U.S. Treasury bond, so, you know, it's going to, when this inflation continues, I think what's going to happen, Dr. Stan, is they're going to start the printing press running so fast over these next 3 months. We've got the new president coming in. He's already talking a $1.2 trillion bailout. And they're going to create the illusion, maybe temporarily, that they're getting things under control. It's not going to last very long. Probably by mid-year, you're going to see all that thing turn over, and then you're going to see inflationary just starting to run through the roof. The flight out of the dollar will accelerate as this dollar rally ends with a vengeance. And I just think the bond market is going to take it on the chin. That'll probably take the corporates with it. I think they'll go first before the U.S. Treasury. You know, right now, why would people be buying bonds that pay no interest? And their logic is simply this. I'd rather put it into a government bond that at least has a printing press and will pay me back than put it into some type of investment where the people may go bankrupt and I don't get any of my money back. But see, that can't last for long because people can't live off of 0% interest as cost of living starts to go up.
And I think it's really it's a tragic situation where you've got people, of course, who've invested in bonds because they want a permanent income for the rest of their lives. And when you're retired, you want to be in something that's safe. You don't want to be speculating. But, of course, in the first report, the first Congressional Oversight Panel on the TARP funds, on the TARP investments, why the Congressional report opens saying that, you know, so many people who are retired are really seriously worried about what the future holds. In fact, many of the retirees wonder if they're going to be able to have enough money to actually be able to live out the rest of their lives. And many of them are thinking, and I quoting it, basically what they say is that they're going to have to work until they die. And many people are afraid they're going to have to work until they die because, of course, the whole financial structure that they have depended upon to see them through the rest of their years, of course, is crumbling. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you agree or disagree, if you have anything you'd like to bring up. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess this is Ron Brown, and we're just summarizing what's going on, because Ron thinks that the Treasury bond bubble is going to break, that the corporate bond bubble is going to break. Remember, the corporate bond bubble is 10 times the size of the stock department, stock market. It actually dwarfs the stock market. People don't understand. But this is where people invest their money because they want stability, they want a regular income, and which it works and works fine as long as you have a stable currency. But when you realize that we've already, within 3 months, increased the national debt by $500 billion. Now remember, it took 200 years to create $1 trillion of debt from 1789 up until 1980. So there was 200 years to get $1 trillion in debt. Over the last 3 months, we've increased the national debt $500 billion. It's estimated that the debt this coming year, this fiscal year, from October of last year till October of 2009, will be between $1.3 trillion to as much as $2 trillion in simply 1 year. and this is simply the takeoff of the hyperinflation that will eventually destroy the value of the dollar, destroy the value of bond investments, destroy the value of anything that is tied to the dollar. And we're talking about pension funds, we're talking about your insurance policy, we're talking about your annuities, we're talking about your bonds, we're talking about your stocks, anything tied to the dollar will be ultimately destroyed. Well, before we go on, Ron, would you like to get your telephone number out? Because I think that people need, of course, to take action now before, of course, this whole financial house of cards comes down. How can people get in touch with you? And if they do, what can you help them with?
Okay, my telephone number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561. And I just encourage people to feel comfortable calling me. I enjoy talking to people. I'll be glad to put together a package of newsletters and some other information that I've put together to send to you free of charge and kind of help you get you started in understanding monetary theory and what's happening to our financial system. And I would just encourage people to call me. That's what I do, is to try to teach people.
And I think it's important for people to understand this is all created. It's been planned for a long period of time for this time in history. And it's all about bringing about a one-world financial system, a new world order, a new world financial system, and this one-world government that they've always wanted. So, and all you have to do is go up on the Internet and type in Henry Kissinger, International Herald Tribune, New World Order or New World Financial System. Google it in. You can read Henry Kissinger's article a couple of days ago, where he talks about how this is a wonderful opportunity to bring in the one world government. And because we have, because of what we've done, we have destroyed the financial stability of literally every nation in the world, at least everyone that was playing the game according to the way that the rules that we were putting out there, and we sold them these faulty bonds, as we knew there were faulty bonds. They knew that the ratings were no good. We knew that the derivatives were no good on them. They knew that they'd fail and the banking system would crumble. And this is how they hope to get into the one world government. And they're working very quickly, and there seems to be almost a timetable that they're following now. Remember, Henry Kissinger is deeply involved in the occult, as are most of the people who are working behind the scenes. And it's not simply by accident. The Wall Street Journal, and I think it was on the 12th of December, we have the article, anybody would like to see it, published a report on their Internet site, MarketWatch, talking about the coming of the Christ. Not Jesus Christ, but Maitreya, the coming world leader. Why would the Wall Street Journal put that out on their website? Well, very simply, because they're controlled by Rupert Murdoch, who's, when he was growing up, was known as Rupert the Red. And, of course, the Wall Street Journal is not conservative, but it's to give you the idea it is conservative. And, of course, we find out that suddenly there is the powerful spiritual forces behind everything going on, coordinating the things that are happening. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And you know, it's really fascinating. You know, we are tragic, but we see, you know, that the automobile sales, General Motors had a 45% decrease in their automobile sales. I believe it was in the month of December, or either November or December. Automobile lots are just going bankrupt all across America. People are not buying automobiles. Why? Because we've instilled in them fear. That's exactly what they're doing. They're playing games with our mind. And as a result, people are not buying things as they have in the past. They're beginning, of course, not to use their credit cards. They're beginning even to save a little bit of money, which, of course, is a foolish thing to do in times like this, because they're going to destroy the value of all the money that's saved through inflation. So people are going to have to start learning how this whole system is set up, and they're going to have to look after themselves, because there's not going to be any help forthcoming from the government. The states are running out of money as far as their as far as the you know, unemployment insurance is concerned. And you know, here in California, they're just running out of funds. Where are they going to get it? They're going to go to the federal government. Is the federal government going to give the state of California money to pay for their unemployment fund when the unemployment fund is run out? And, of course, we're seeing all sorts of financial problems within literally every form of business in the nation. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've got Mario calling from Flint, Michigan. Hi, Mario. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing just fine. Thanks. You have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. I don't know if this would be within your area of expertise, but I have heard reports that there is already an international currency being minted or printed, that it's already made, and we're just waiting for the time for it to be unveiled.
All right. Have you heard anything about that, Ron?
Are you talking about the Amero that they're...
Yeah, yes, it is called the Amero, as far as I can recall.
Yeah, well, the plan has been, and it's been brought out by the Trilateral Commission. They put out a 70-page document on it three or four years ago, I guess. Mr. Pastor is the one that's been kind of leading the charge, and the plan is to simply merge the United States with Mexico and Canada. This corridor they're building up from Mexico through Canada is part of that plan. There's many more highways planned with it. And in my opinion, what I've been saying for the last 2 years is that they will create the crisis, and we can see the crisis coming upon us right now. And out of that crisis will create the environment which will allow them to make draconian solutions, and one of it would be to declare a monetary crisis, monetary reform, create the Amero, force Americans and Mexicans and to exchange their currency for the new currency, and at that time we would institute this North American Union step by step, but in the process we would lose our constitution and our government of law.
So this the plans are already made. Everything's already waiting just to be unveiled when an opportune time comes.
Mara, we don't know whether they're going to go into this North American Union or they're going to go into a world union. We don't know. We do know, though, the one thing is that the people who control our government and the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, are subversive. Why are they subversive? Because they want to destroy the sovereignty of this nation. Many of them serve at the highest levels of our government, have sworn to uphold the Constitution, and they hate the Constitution because it gives freedom to the average individual. And they want to establish an authoritarian government with a new feudalistic system which they will lead. And nobody out here has the courage to call these people subversives, but that's what they are. And they're working at the highest levels of our government. They are surrounding Obama. If you can go down the list, we made a list of 13 of his key appointees. Of those, at least five came from the Trilateral Commission. Of the 9 people who will serve in the State Department underneath Hillary Clinton, at least 5 of them are coming from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission, and 7 of them are coming from other branches of in other words, 7 of the 9 will either Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderbergers, but either 4 or 5 are trilateralists. These are people, there's only 120 people, you know, in the Trilateral Commission, but they control every government, and they have every administration going all the way back to Jimmy Carter. So we go to the polls to vote not for the candidate of our choice, but for the candidate of their choice. And this is the 6th of the last 7 presidents of the World Bank have come from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. With only 120 of them in North America, do you think that's just coincidence?
I'm sure it's not.
All right, fine.
Okay,
so basically,
thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless, and please get those people back there in Flint listening, will you?
I sure will.
Okay, God bless, and thanks so much. Let's go to Ray calling from Santa Cruz. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and I guess this evening is Ron Brown. Ron, you want to get your telephone number off one more time?
That's 1-800-595-0005. 1-800-595-0561.
Well, you almost have to repeat it twice.
Okay, 1-800-595-0561.
Okay, fine. Let's go to Ray from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Real good. Just before I ask the question, I just want to say, you once said that if you shine a little bit of light on them, they show up and die or something. You said that one time.
No, but I think you
shine a little bit of light on them.
You shine a little bit of light on them, they flee like a vampire at dawn is the term.
The truth is something that they can't stand.
They cannot let the American people realize, of course, that this whole concept, they talk about democracy. We're not a democracy or a republic. We have a constitution that's the law of the land, and these people are lawbreakers, they're subversives. They're intent upon destroying our nation and bringing us into a world government. Obama's already said, I'm a citizen of the world.
Yeah,
you can't
yeah.
be a citizen of the world and a citizen of the United States.
No, you
can't have a dual loyalty, but obviously he does. And it was the trilateralists who put him in Washington, D.C. They controlled Time magazine. They had his picture on the front of Time magazine five or six times last year. How many people do you know that had their picture on the front cover of Time magazine five or six times in a period of a year or so?
Yeah, you know, It all fits together. All the pieces fit together real well. I'm just wondering about the NAFTA superhighway and the progress that's being made on that thing, whether they're stopping it, whether they're really stopping it before it gets too
Well, I think they're running out of money for everything. They're running out of money for highway construction. I think that everything is going to grind to a stop. This is my understanding. And even though I think they'd like to build a NAFTA superhighway, they're going to run out of money for all sorts of government programs. They're even going
to
have to start laying off people at every level, at the federal government level, at the state government level, at the county level, at the local level. Corporations are closing down. Businesses are closing down. You're seeing the destruction of the financial structure of our nation. What would you say to that, Ron?
Well, you know, the president-elect talks about the first stimulation package is going to be to rebuild the infrastructure of America, so it's possible that's where they'll come up with some of that money to go into this whole, highway you're talking about, and there's actually a whole grid that they're planned for the future. I don't know how long it'll take them to get to that, but this thing has fallen apart.
I think it's really much so interesting, of course, all this talk about we've got to give money to General Motors. Do you realize if General Motors go down, as many as 2 or 3 million Americans could lose their jobs? Because it's not just the 250,000 automobile workers that would lose their jobs, but all the people who are dependent upon those jobs. And so we've got to give that money to General Motors. It certainly we certainly don't like to do it, but after all, if we hold it off, why the whole financial structure would come down. In fact, we won't need a financial structure because there'd be nobody to finance. And I would simply point out, General Motors just opened a new $300 million factory in Russia. They've opened their eighth automobile manufacturing company over in China. They're opening a $3 billion complex down in Brazil.
They're doing research.
And they want us to give them money so they can keep going here. Come on now.
They're doing research on the lithium-ion battery.
Right.
And that's one thing that just indicates to me that, what do they need the, $15 billion for or whatever?
Okay.
I don't know. Anything
else you wanted to say, Ray?
That's about it.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks so much for calling. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. A day never goes by without a number of major corporations reporting they're laying off people, they're closing branches. Sydney Citigroup, the largest single bank in the United States, one of the largest banks in the world, is beginning to break apart and trying to preserve something. And they, I'm sure, have these derivatives worth, how many trillion dollars? I don't know. But all of these banks put out these insurance policies without reserves. They made fabulous profits. And, of course, their executives made fabulous profits. And when Mr. Paulson was the CEO of Goldman Sachs, he accumulated $800 million. That's almost $1 billion, which, of course, I'm sure that he's got salted away someplace. But, of course, in the process of doing that, why, of course, he participated and played a very large part in destroying our economic system. In 2004, he led a delegation of bankers to Washington, D.C. to lobby the SEC to allow banks to write insurance policies without any reserves. Why would banks write insurance policies? Of course, they did away with the Glass-Steagall Act so that they could do this sort of thing. But insurance policy without reserves? You can make a lot of money writing insurance policies without reserves unless somebody calls in on the insurance policy, and then there's nothing there. And that's really what's going on. And the fact that there may be as much as $250 billion in derivatives out there, that's a frightening figure, isn't it, Ron?
Sure is. It's and every one of them are leveraged bets. So as we go into deflation, all these leveraged bets start to implode on themselves, and it just feeds on itself. And
that is what is going. That is the final final bubble that destroys our whole economic system. And how do you deal with it? Why, you, of course, can't let those derivatives go into default. So you just turn on the printing presses, and you're given printing more and more and more money. And pretty soon, why, it looks like the Weimar Republic. Pretty soon it looks like Zimbabwe. Well, maybe they only destroy maybe 95% of the value of our currency. How would you feel out there, ladies and gentlemen, to realize that 95% of everything you'd worked for had been lost, or 99%? People say it couldn't happen here, and I would like to say, why couldn't it happen here? If God is just, don't you think he's got to bring his judgment on this nation for what we have done? As the financial and military power of the United States has been used to finance dictators throughout the world and bring war to countries. Well, Ron, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay, Dr. Stan, you know, I read today in one of the articles.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
difficult times that lie ahead, but the America we've known in the past has ceased to exist. God bless you. Thanks so much, Ron.
Always a pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Ron Brown. Certainly, I always enjoy Ron. The hour just flies by. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there have enjoyed the program, and if you would like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, you're in a position to help us. We'd love to hear from you. And, of course, you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You can subscribe to our newsletter. But our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get copies of a program like the one we did tonight to get the statistics on what's really going down, and you have to hear this several times because it's so unbelievable, why you can order a CD or a tape of this program. And in fact, we need to put together a four-tape set, update our financial Armageddon to what's really going on today. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because you can't understand anything that's going on unless you understand the spiritual forces behind what's going on. Remember, the Knights Templar were the first international bankers. The Knights Templar were the first international bankers. They were an occult organization that had tapped into the mystery religions of the Near East. And with that knowledge, they were able to develop great wealth. But, of course, they began to be disbanded on Friday the 13th, and that was 1307. That's the reason Friday the 13th is supposedly an evil day, because that's the day they arrested Jacques de Molay, the leader of the Templars, and he was tried. He was arrested because he was a Luciferian, because the Templars had tapped into these supernatural forces and were using supernatural knowledge to accumulate their wealth. And that knowledge has been passed down through the Rosicrucians and the Masons and the Illuminati into the Skull and Bones, and then, of course, into the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Group of 30. And we do have an elite that runs the world today. If you'd like to get our newsletters, I know we have a little pamphlet called The Financial Meltdown. We actually have my November newsletter. You can pull it down off the Internet. That's the November 2008 newsletter at RadioLiberty.com. Hopefully our December newsletter will be out very soon, and our January newsletter will simply help you better to understand what's going on. And you're going to have to make your preparations, and you have to understand that they plan to destroy the value of our currency. If you've not heard my talk on the financial tsunami and read the syllabus that goes with that, you need to get it. We explained everything that was going on at that time, and it's just as true today. We explained derivatives and hedge funds and the carry trade and all of the things that led us to where we are. But, of course, we have nothing behind our currency other than the integrity of George Bush, and now Barack Obama, who is put in office by the Trilateral Commission. He surrounded himself by members of the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, and that did not happen by accident. And behind that are the dark spiritual forces, which we've tried to warn people about. So, certainly, you need to get my talk on the financial tsunami and the syllabus that goes with that, our pamphlets on the history of money and the financial meltdown. You need to get the book entitled The Creature from Jekyll Island. We think it's the best book available. The book The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, the book Fiat Money Inflation in France. And when you have that information, you know far more than the average individual does about what's going on in the world today. So again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please go there. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day, 9 hours a day on our satellite feed, 4 hours live. And it's available on blog. It's available on MP3. It's available archived. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of government, of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to be mindful of the views that are expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamus, who is an Israeli citizen, an Israeli patriot, who, of course, written for many years over in Israel about the corruption within the Israeli government, how many of the leaders of Israel were controlled by the members of the Council on Foreign Relations, and Israel's foreign and domestic policy was determined by people who did not have the best interests of Israel at hand, and because of that, there were threats against his life, and he was forced to come here to America. But that's to our advantage, because now we can listen to him on a regular basis and get his thoughts. And tonight I'm sure we're going to be talking about the current war in Gaza. And, of course, how do you approach the situation there? Should we support the Israelis and their attack on the Palestinians? Should we support the Palestinians because an awful lot of Palestinian men and women and children are being killed, innocent civilians? How do we approach the issue in Palestine? And I would point out to you that we're arguing and we're discussing the wrong issues. The issue is not who should we be backing, but who is behind Hamas? Why is Egypt allowing all the military supplies and the rockets to come through their country, through the tunnels into Hamas? Why didn't Hezbollah or Syria attack Israel when it was in a weakened position? Who is financing Hamas? We never asked these questions. But of course, if the United States government wanted to stop the missile attack and any more missiles getting into Gaza, they would simply say to the Egyptians, we give you $3 billion a year. You stop this foolishness or we're cutting off your money. But have you heard any suggestion that we do that sort of thing? So obviously the people in the United States, oh, so concerned about all the Palestinians who are being slaughtered over there, are not concerned enough to bring pressure upon Egypt to stop the advent of missiles and weapons being brought into Hamas, which is a terrorist organization which is originally funded both by the Mossad and by the American Central Intelligence Agency. And why would they have created, you know, a terrorist organization, a radical Islamic terrorist organization in Palestine? Why, for the same reason we created a radical Islamic organization in both Pakistan and certainly in Afghanistan, which of course was the forerunners of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. Go right ahead, Barry. Let's get your views on what's going on.
Well, you just summed them up, so I guess I don't have much more to say.
I do. Listen, I've never known you not to have something to say. You go right ahead.
Well, I'm just going to mention that I did watch the news this morning, and it looked horrible for Israel. Israel bombed a UN compound using white phosphorus. All right, that's the claim. Now, again, it looks like Israel is using napalm, but white phosphorus is used to illuminate the area. It's used in flares. It's used in bullets and tracer bullets. Now, what tanks do when they don't see a target, they send one shell of white phosphorus, and it lights up the area, and it's like fireworks. Well, that's allowed in war. You can use white phosphorus to light up an area, a battlefield, or so forth. You can't use it against people because it's a nasty
hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Oops, all right.
You go right ahead.
Oh, that was the message?
That was the, you go right ahead.
Okay. Well, the point is that there's no proof that Israel is using white phosphorus as an anti-personnel weapon. It would not be an Israeli thing to do. They've got weapons without white phosphorus that can do plenty of damage. But that, again, white phosphorus all over again is used by every army to light up battlefields. And this is the propaganda today. And there's no one in Israel explaining this properly. They were using, as I said, in the Lebanon War of 82, which I participated in, we had flares. We had lots and lots of flares. It's very dark at night, and you need flares. The whole landscape was lit up with phosphorus. And I'm not exaggerating. We saw hills for miles lit up by phosphorus. They turned this into a weapon against Israel, and Israel is not going to explain this way out. The whole world thinks that Israel is using white phosphorus to burn the Palestinians. And that's what I saw in the news today. And that, of course, is why I don't ever quote American news for any reason whatsoever, but just a little background of what's going on there.
And I'm sure, Barry, what they're doing is manipulating the public. What they're doing is talking about the children who are dying, and I think it's terrible, and about the women who are dying, and about the innocent civilians who are dying, and all of this is terrible, but they are manipulating the emotions of the American people, and certainly the white phosphorus goes right along with that. So much of the media in America is anti-Israel, and of course, you know, how could that possibly be? I thought that the Zionists controlled all of our newspapers, but obviously they don't. It should be so obvious to the American people, if they read the newspapers, that it is slanted to get for sympathy for the Palestinians. And I think we should have sympathy for the Palestinians. But to demonize Israel, and we succeed in nothing by doing that. This whole thing is being manipulated. The Israeli people are being manipulated. The Palestinian people are being manipulated. And an awful lot of people are going to die, but for entirely different reasons than we ever talk about. People have forgotten Vietnam, where we killed 2 million North Vietnamese and 1 million South Vietnamese. All we ever talk about are the 58,000 Americans who died there, which was a terrible thing, and I sympathize with that. And my heart goes out to them and their families. But what about all the Vietnamese, the 3 million Vietnamese that died? Should we be concerned about them? We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest here is Barry Shamish. We're talking about the the tragic situation that's going on over in Palestine today, in Gaza, where, of course, the Israeli troops are trying to bring Hamas under control so that they can end the missile barrage, the missile attacks on the southern part of Israel. And it's obvious that Hamas increased the missile attack to create a necessity to force Israel to attack. Don't you think that that's really what happened?
Well, they were certainly taunting a stronger neighbor. And at some point, you do enough taunting, and the neighbor's going to punch you in the nose.
In fact, it's like poking a stick at a rattlesnake. Pretty soon it's going to strike back at you. And that's exactly what Israel did. And the people who were behind Hamas knew that was going to happen. Well, we've got Ed calling from Idaho as a question for you. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Ed, do you have a question for our guest?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Hi, Barry. Yes, I do have a question for you, Barry. Can you explain to me the difference between a Sephardic Jew and an Ashkenazi Jew?
Yeah, in one sentence. The Ashkenazis are from Europe and the Sephardim are from the Middle East. There, I just answered it.
The Sephardic were more the Jews that were really in Israel. What was the origin of the Ashkenazis?
The origin?
Yeah, did they come from Israel originally, or where did they come from?
Jews were dispersed by the Romans to every part of the world, and if you ended up in Europe, you ended up being an Ashkenazi. And you took on European characteristics, and over 2,000 years you looked European. And if you lived in the Middle East, you took on the characteristics of Morocco or Iran or wherever you were, and became a Sephardic Jew.
All right, fine. Does that answer your question, Ed?
Well, I'd like to a little bit more of clarification, if I could, because not being Jewish, I don't know the answer to this. But what I had heard is that the Ashkenazis were actually converts. They were...
This is silly. don't even continue. There's no truth whatsoever with your continuation. Jews are Jews. And by the way, DNA tests have proven that Sephardim and the Ashkenazim are related long ago.
Have they really done the DNA to verify that, Barry?
Most certainly.
All right, fine. I didn't know that, so I learned something from your call. Anything else you wanted to ask, Ed?
Oh, that was it.
God bless, and thanks so much. And, of course, there's so much misinformation in there about the Jewishness and the Jewish race, and, of course, controversy over whether they ought to be in Israel or not, but I personally believe that God has a plan for the Jewish people, and it is fascinating that at this time in history, whatever reason you think that they're there, and I believe God does rule in the affairs of men, and he has a very special plan for the Jewish people, although there may be some very, very difficult times. Well, you go ahead and tell us what your other thoughts are.
Well, Ed brought up a subject. I mean, we're going a little... off the beaten track here, but if you want to know about the DNA, there's a, 2 weeks ago, the DNA tests of the Spanish people were released, and it was a real big deal in Spain. 20% of Spanish DNA is Jewish, which doesn't surprise me at all, but nonetheless, that's a fact that Spanish have to live with them. One-fifth of their DNA is Jewish.
All right, fine. Of course, the Jews were in Spain for a long time. They were actually forced out sometime about 1400.
They were forced in. That's the whole problem. They became secret convertees and pretended, at least for a generation or two, they would pretend to be Christians and celebrate Jewish holidays in secret. Apparently, about a fifth of the Spanish population were the Jews that stayed behind.
That's really very interesting, because I knew a Jewish gentleman. In fact, he gave me part of his library before he died, and he told me exactly the same thing. Of course, his people had come through the North Africa, then into Spain, and then, of course, they were in Spain, and they pretended to convert to Catholicism, and so they'd celebrate all the holy days, you know, at the regular times, and then they'd have their Jewish ceremonies down in the basement where nobody could see them, because that was the only way they could continue to be Jews in a country that was violently anti-Jewish. So there's been so much to the history of Judaism and how it's been able to survive, you know, for the last 2,000 years under persecution. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but let's get back to what's going on over there as far as Gaza is concerned. Do you think that we hear rumors that they're going to be coming up with some sort of a ceasefire? The international pressure is there, but if they have a ceasefire, why, Hamas is going to continue getting their missiles as long as the United States allows Egypt to allow them to be brought in there. So nothing's going to change until the Americans really bring pressure on Egypt and say no more missiles to Hamas.
Well, my last radio show with you, I said I got a caller from Israel who said that the ceasefire will be in place by this weekend. And the way it's going right now, that may not be false. Now, of course, Israel doesn't have to abide by anybody's ceasefire, but you've got this split in the government. The way it's being told, again, I wasn't in the room. These are just Israeli press reports, but they're widespread enough. I imagine they're deliberate leaks. Olmert wants to go and be a hero and take Gaza City and eliminate the Hamas, whereas Livni and Barak say it'll be too costly and want a ceasefire. Israel is going to be in no better position than it was before this invasion when they accept the ceasefire. It may take Hamas 6 months, a year, 2 years, but with foreign troops protecting them from the Israelis, they'll put together a Jim Dandy army once the foreign troops get into Gaza, just like Hezbollah did in Lebanon.
Well, now, Chris, where are the troops coming from? Are they going to be European Union troops? Are they going
They're
to be
going to
NATO
be Vatican troops.
Got to be Vatican troops, okay.
This is what I've been saying for years, and it's all coming true. After the Lebanon War of 2.5 years ago, there was a big meeting in Rome. Condoleezza and her gang showed up. Representatives of every world body you could think of all showed up in Rome to hammer out a ceasefire. And somehow they all agreed to send soldiers from Germany, France, Spain, and Italy. And that's what's going to happen in Gaza, because everyone negotiating right now is negotiating with Southern Europe.
That sounds to me like European Union troops. People don't understand that there is a NATO army, and then there's a European army, which is, of course, the Western European countries. The army is under the control of a man named Javier Solana, who is really one of the most powerful men in the world. Most people have never heard of him. You can learn a lot about him at Constance Cumby's website. She's been tracking him for a long time. And this is indeed one of the most powerful and secretive men in the world. Javier Solana runs the European army separate than the NATO army. Go ahead.
Well, what's going to happen? Now, I'll just make a prediction now. Again, this is what I've been saying for years, and it's remarkable that what I say actually comes true. I've been saying for years that Vatican have a crusade going now to get Jerusalem back, get the Jews out of Israel if they can arrange it and take over, but certainly out of Jerusalem. They have to go. After they're placed in Gaza, which I see happening shortly, I'm watching the meetings now, where it's not just Paris and Sarkozy, it's the Spanish everything. Now, the Spanish foreign minister is in Ramallah today negotiating. Mahmoud Abbas flew first to the United Nations and then to King Juan Carlos of Spain 4 days ago. It's the same process I've been writing about in my books for years. And I do owe a lady in Canada for her knowledge. I didn't just get this from my imagination. A lot of information was supplied to me. But nonetheless, you're going to see southern European troops in Gaza, and in a year or two or five, whenever they can arrange it, you're going to see southern European troops in divided Jerusalem. And that's really the ultimate goal. Gaza is just a side issue. Jerusalem is the big one.
And I think you're absolutely right on that. I think that there is an organized effort, one day to bring it, Jerusalem, which is the holy city for so many religions, but to bring it under United Nations control. Or
absolutely,
you would say Vatican
United
control,
Nations.
But they all work together into this.
The United Nations will police Jerusalem.
Right.
That's a different animal. The actual government, the governing body of East Jerusalem and the Holy City is going to be the Vatican. But again, this is, I can actually prove this, but it's a kind of a long story. But nonetheless, let's stick with Gaza. If I'm right, and within the allotted time, we see a ceasefire with southern European troops, all your listeners, well, you'll all remember that you heard it first from me. I guess that's as good as we can do it tonight.
All right, I wouldn't disagree with you at all. I think that you're right on that, Barry. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest this evening is Barry Shamus, and so we're talking about the tragic situation going over there in Gaza. But remember, it is being used. The people there, the Israelis are being used, the Palestinians are being used, an awful lot of people are dying, but there is an agenda. And I believe, of course, it will be there European troops, perhaps southern European troops there, and eventually in Jerusalem. Go right ahead, Barry.
Yeah, now another side of Gaza, a real big side.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Thank you for having your guest on. There's something about him that makes me feel like he's my brother.
Well, I'll tell you,
wow.
he's an honest man. I think he's impartial. I think he, of course, is an Israeli patriot, but I think he can see the faults of his country as well as the strength of it. He loves Israel, and I love having Barry on as a guest. So thank you for your comments, Donna. Go ahead.
My question is, this current crisis in Gaza is so dramatic, and it's
right.
So emotional, and it's so big in the news, that
right.
It makes me wonder what else is going on that we're being so much distracted by this. Is there something else that's very important that they don't want us to know about?
Well, I do think that they're using this to justify putting troops in there, and I think there'll be probably EU troops, European Union troops from southern Europe. But I don't know of anything else they're covering up, but there's so many things that are going on, certainly financially, as far as our relationships with Pakistan, our relationships with Afghanistan, our relationships with Iran. Do you have any other thoughts? Donna thinks that maybe, of course, they're focusing our attention on Gaza to cover up something else. Can you think of anything else they might be covering up at this time?
Well, come on, the rockets have been flying now for 8 years. The motivation for the war was there was a ceasefire that ended, and on the day it ended, Hamas sent 90 missiles, 90 in one day. Now, I wrote an article 3 days before the invasion. I said, so long as Hamas doesn't touch Ashkelon, Israel won't invade. I said, once you touch Ashkelon, then you've got a war. And the reason being that Ashkelon is, the biggest power plant in Israel. Maybe Hadera is bigger, but about half the electricity in Israel comes from Ashkelon. And when you start throwing rockets at the country's power source, you're going to be in a war. And 3 days after the ceasefire ended and Ashkelon was hit, actually it was 3 days after I wrote my article, but it doesn't matter. As soon as Ashkelon was hit, Hamas was invaded. And this is aside from everything else going on in the world. Hamas broke a genuine understanding between Israel and it not to hit Ashkelon. And I really actually believe that is the cause of this war. There are many underlying causes. And you want to know about politics and who sided with who. Israel went to a lot of trouble to neutralize Egypt and Fatah before the war even started. So it's been in planning for months anyways.
And my understanding is Abbas, of course, who leads the Fatah, they had an election over there. He was voted out of power, but we didn't care about that. So we chose him over the people who won the democratic election. But Abbas really wanted us to go to war with Hamas so he could be able to, they would be weakened so he could dominate that area. Do you think that's correct?
Well, I don't know, but
dominate. I mean, the guy, supposedly, he's supposed to be out of office sometime this month. He won't dominate his own backyard in a few minutes. But they don't want Hamas to take over the West Bank.
All right.
And he was leaving office. As soon as he left office, they expected a coup in the West Bank. And they Abbas asked Israel for months to invade Gaza and put an end to Hamas. So, I mean, Donna is right. The world is collapsing around us lately. But this invasion goes back a while.
Okay, Donna, anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
I just appreciate your explaining all this to us.
Well,
why don't you email me and get on my list?
Do you have do you have a computer, Donna?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Why don't you give your email out there, Barry?
All right, Donna, I'll expect a letter from you. Have you got a pen handy?
Mm-hmm.
Chamish, C-H-A-M-I-S-H-B-A. That's Chamish B-A. You know, that's Chamish Barry. @gmail.com. ChamishBA@gmail.com.
And he'll put you on the email list, and you'll get the emails just as I do. And so you can keep right up along with me and what's going on.
Barry, well, I've got to give my sister the latest information.
Thanks.
God bless. Thanks very much for calling, Donna. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest, Barry Chamish. We're talking about certainly what's going over in Gaza. And it is a very emotional issue. And a lot of people are dying. And a lot of innocent people are dying. My personal opinion is it's all being manipulated. I think Hamas well knew that, of course, if they did increase their attacks on Israel and certainly attack the electric plant there, why, of course, there would be a retaliation. And certainly they have no compassion at all, knowing full well that they were going to rain a terrible vengeance down on the Palestinian people. And they did it anyway, and whoever controls Hamas has no compassion for their fellow Palestinians. And people have to understand that the people are simply pawns in this vicious game that's being played today. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, the issue again of anti-Semitism. Now, this is in Europe. It's terrible. It's all coming from Muslims. You don't have skinheads or neo-Nazis attacking Jews. You've got Muslims attacking Jews. All through Europe. Now, there are two crisis points in the world right now where the Jews are in big trouble. One is Yemen, and we don't know anything about it, but they were asked to leave their houses and put into a special town because of the danger they were in. But Yemen is a tough place to get news out of. And they murdered an American rabbi who tried to who flew from New York to try and help them. So, but leave that aside. The big one is Turkey. Turkey has got itself an Islamist government, and they are really stirring up the hatred against the Jews there. They're putting signs on Jewish stores, don't buy here. They're doing what the Nazis did before the Kristallnacht. And you may see an exodus of there's about 50,000 Turkish Jews, a whole bunch more Sabbateans, but I won't go into that subject. But there are about 50,000 Jews in Turkey who are in tremendous danger. Now, what people think is that Israel is opposed to anti-Semitism. Israel, it loves anti-Semitism. This is what worries me. Almost, pretty well all of Israelis are there because of anti-Semitism, either real or deliberately and manipulated.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Barry Shamish. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And Barry was simply saying, although it's very difficult for the average individual to understand this, the leaders of Israel want anti-Semitism in the world. And you say, well, that sounds crazy, but of course it's not crazy at all. It is because there's anti-Semitism in the world that people will immigrate to Israel. Why would anybody want to leave the United States with the comforts we have here for the Jewish population and go to Israel? Why would they want to leave Turkey or Yemen or other places, you know, where they're living comfortably and they're prospering and they have good businesses? Because of anti-Semitism, and the people who want the Jews all gathered together in Israel are promoting anti-Semitism. They have for a long time. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And before we go on, Barry, and you certainly comment on my comments, I want you to get your telephone number out. I want you to tell people how they can get your books, how they can get your CDs, how they get your website, and how they get your excellent emails, which brings us up to date on what's going on in the Holy Land.
Yeah, did you get my latest DVD?
Yes, I did, and thank you so much for sending it.
Did you have to look at it?
No, I haven't, but remember, I have to do 5 hours of talk radio a day and about 10 hours of preparation.
Oh, you don't have
but
to
I will get to looking at it. Don't you worry. It's just a matter of time.
You don't have to apologize. My goodness. My books... Now, of course, Bye-Bye Gaza, if you really want to know what's going on in Gaza, go and buy the book. It's very easy to get. You go to www.lulu.com. Lulu is like the cartoon character, L-U-L-U.com. There's a little box that says search. Write in my name, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's Shamish, and you'll get to Bye-Bye Gaza. I would suggest not getting the color one. It's expensive. Get the black and white one. It's full of pictures and documents, and they charge a lot when it's in color. The website is BarryShamish.com. I'll leave a phone number. For the DVDs, I have numerous DVDs, and you can call me and ask what they are. 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. There we go.
All right, fine. And so how would you respond to my response suggesting that the people who lead Israel want anti-Semitism because they want people to immigrate to Israel? Would that be a fair appraisal?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was my... That's where I was going with it. It's more serious than just getting a few immigrants. If all the Jews of Turkey are forced out of the country, a minority of them anyways will go to Israel, and that's how you populate Israel. Israel's losing so many people every year. 31,000, if you can believe this, it's an amazing number, 31,000 left Israel permanently this year for the United States. And America has sent all of 3,000 Jews to Israel. Israel is losing population, and it can only be replaced, again, through anti-Semitism. The problem is Israel didn't forget the wars and the Arabs. That's not nice, but in your day-to-day life, it's Israel itself that makes life so difficult for people. And they didn't create an ideal world there. And a lot of people are leaving, and they have to replace these people. And Foreign Minister Livni gave a whole speech demanding that different governments in Europe stomp out anti-Semitic nonsense. What she wants is lots of anti-Semitism to get French Jews and Turkish Jews and Dutch Jews, any Jews in Europe to Israel is far, far better a plan than to stomp out anti-Semitism. But again, I'm not sure your listeners really need to know this point, and I think more than a few Israelis already know it.
Well, you know, I think it's really very interesting, and Chris, I've often wondered how you would ever get Jewish people from the United States to leave this country, where, of course, they, many of them are very productive. They've got good lives. They've got good incomes. They've got good jobs. And I really think that, of course, the coming financial contraction and perhaps even growing anti-Semitism here, because I do think it's increasing in the United States, you'd be amazed at how many people would criticize me for having you on or for ever making a...
I wouldn't be amazed.
But anyway, of course, what I really think is the financial situation gets worse here. And I think that as the anti-Semitism grows, there will be, and of course, I believe we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis and violence, that, you know, and especially if they can get the European troops there in Gaza and the West Bank and suddenly quiet down the violence there, why, of course, Jews may think about leaving the United States and returning home. I know a lot of Jews have this feeling that their affinity is for Israel. This is their home, and it's an interesting phenomenon. But the only way that they would leave if things get pretty bad here. Have you thought of that?
I lived in Israel for 33 years. I came from America.
Right, but I think things are going to get a lot worse here. Now, you're
saying that Jews are going to pack up and go to Israel? Not if they can help us.
As long as the economy is good, the living here is good, but if we go into a period of chaos and crisis, as I anticipate, as we get increasing instability, as the structure of our government, they've run out of money, they can't fund the things, the things we are used to no longer exist. Well, it's going to be interesting to see if I'm right.
Well, they're
going to
blame Jews, that's for sure. I mean, they're blaming Madoff, who robbed Jews. I mean, he destroyed the American Jewish communal movement, who all invested in him. There's no Jewish communal movement in America anymore because of this Madoff, but the anti-Semites will say he brought down, he was the factor, one of the factors, the Jews were the factor in bringing us to this economic crisis, and there will be problems. But again, America isn't Europe. And America is thoroughly overrun with Muslims. But you brought up a question, an issue. People are complaining that I'm on the show. I was on a show this week where people were really complaining. If you think you have complaints, I was on the Power Hour.
Well, I think, you know, because the thing that I think most of the people who are anti-Semitic don't listen to my program. They don't like me because, of course, I certainly object to their position. But we let them have their say, and then, of course, we try to point out where they're wrong. I'm sorry you had a difficult time, but I bet you handled it well.
I had a wonderful time.
Okay. Joyce is really a wonderful person, so is Dave, but this is such an emotional issue, and this issue of Palestine, if you just look at it and you think of all the people over there dying, it's so easy to be swept along with the emotion without being objective and say, hey, you know, what we see has nothing to do with the reality of what's really going on. So go ahead.
Well, first of all, I was on the show knowing what to expect, and I prepared myself. I didn't just ad-lib that show. I was ready, and they were stunned. And Joyce, of course, was very calm. And she gave me one argument, Hamas was democratically elected and has won several local elections since then. I said, you're right. I said, what does that say about the innocent Gazans when they elected Hamas? And I said, you want me to argue with this? I mean, this is a very good point you're bringing up.
You know, that is a wonderful point, because of course in a debate, if you can simply take the other person's argument and agree with it and then twist it around, why, of course, you've won. You always want to put the opposition on the defensive. That is the secret of any open debate.
Well, it's not even twisting it. When you talk about innocent civilians in Gaza, you know, they voted in Hamas. They're not so innocent. But nonetheless, Joyce was pretty good. I always like being on her show. It was like my third or fourth time. But David was so emotional. There's a difference. Joyce
had questions prepared. And by the way, I had no argument with what she prepared. She brought up, well, didn't Israel create Hamas? And I said, not create. Israel saw in Hamas a very tiny and nascent Islamic movement, a way to neutralize the PLO. And we talked about it. And it wasn't as devious as she thought. But David was screaming things like, just stop fighting and live in peace.
Well, I know, but that's such a simplistic thing. But I understand how he feels that way. I can remember, Barry, I'm old enough to remember the Vietnam War and how I was totally in favor of the Vietnam War, and all those people who are against the Vietnam, they were pro-communist, at least that's what we thought, and the communists were on one side and we patriots were on the other, until I suddenly realized that I was being manipulated. My emotions were being manipulated. And it takes a while. You've got to get pretty old before you can begin to realize that you've got to look at things objectively and not get emotionally involved. And I don't criticize people who get emotionally involved, but there's no simple solution when this whole thing is being used for entirely different purposes than the average individual realizes.
No, emotion is not only emotion. Emotion standing by itself is not a particularly appealing characteristic. Now, for instance, the rockets. I would talk about the rockets, and he would say they hardly even killed Israelis. You can't compare them to the airplanes dropping bombs. And I said, David, do you think that they weren't trying to kill Israelis with 6,000 rockets in a few years, and you think they were just giving Israel a fireworks display? I said, it doesn't matter that they were primitive weapons and Israel's got a little more sophisticated fighting ability. They were trying to kill Israelis. It's something that, for some reason, it just didn't occur to him that these rockets made people live in terror. And it was an intolerable situation, and it had to be stopped. But I ended up finally just asking him, just outright, I said, have you ever been to Gaza? And he got very, very offended. No, and I don't have to live in Gaza. I don't have to be in Gaza to know what's going on. And I said, David, yes, you do. You have to know the mentality there. Now, it turns out I spent quite a lot of time in Gaza. Let's see, a month in reserve services, shorter periods a couple times after that as a soldier, and then in Gush Katif fighting the evacuation for a year. So, I mean, ultimately I've spent a few months in Gaza. So I said to him, you can't comment on Gaza if you don't know the issues and the way the people think in Gaza. You can't comment on it. I said the reason the rockets were being shot was Hamas thought they could destroy Israel. In their delusions, they thought they could demoralize Israel, now cause a few dead bodies, and cause a very, very unhappy country until the day when you would have a three- or four-front war and all their allies would come and start a rocket war against Israel. In the meantime, they were at the forefront of the war to destroy Israel.
But of course, nobody ever asked why, you know, at this time Hezbollah didn't get involved, why Syria didn't get involved, why the United States put pressure on the Israelis to pull the settlers and the troops out of Gaza and turn it over to the Palestinians who could be used to lob missiles into southern Israel. What people always look, you know, at what's going on, and they say, look, I want a solution, I want to stop the killing. But unless you look at what brought this about, and it was pressure from the United States put on Israel to pull their settlers, to pull the troops out of Gaza, that gave Hamas, down the line, the ability to be there and to attack southern Israel. And so much of this doesn't make sense, but it should have. The people obviously knew what was going to happen, and maybe we ought to ask why the people in the American State Department wanted to lay this situation, the foundation for this attack on Israel, has led us to where we are today, that will eventually lead to the deaths of an awful lot of Palestinians, that will eventually lead to an occupation force there, and I believe this is all, somebody calculated this whole thing, and you can't take one side or the other, because if you do, you're going to just be emotional, and it's so easy to be emotional, but we've got to be objective, and you have to be able to keep your senses and keep your wits about you with everybody else is getting emotional, and start asking the leading questions. I'm sure you did very well.
Well, just so you know, can you hear me?
Right, I certainly can hear you.
Now, on this show, there were, I guess about five callers. Now, they didn't ask questions. You didn't have an Ed or a Donna who actually phoned in with a question, which, as far as I know, is the only way to do it, as far as I know. No, you had them phoning up and calling me things like a nihilistic Zionist with bombs in my pockets, and I said, by the way, someone said that. And I said, you know, this isn't how it's done. I said, where's the question in this? You're phoning me up and attacking me, and that's a question? I said, this is not the way gentlemen discuss things. I was very, very calm, and I got all these nice emails afterwards applauding me for my aplomb in the face of really, you know what, I don't know what a nihilistic Zionist is. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what it means either, but if you call names when you can't think of anything logical to say. And I just think it shows an immaturity on people's part. You want to discuss things and discuss them intelligently and impassionately and try to come with a solution or at least help to educate people. And, of course, I personally believe that there are powerful forces that at work there, of course, that really want to destroy Israel. But I believe God has a place for Israel in his plan. It's going to be interesting as we watch this thing play out. Well, our guest this evening has been Barry Shamish. Always a pleasure having Barry with us here at Radio Liberty. And we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this program right here at Radio Liberty. Well,
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Not going to find in the average individual, and I think he's objective in most of what he says. Probably as objective as I am, because we all have our prejudices. But anyway, we do hope that you've enjoyed the program. I hope you've enjoyed the first program as well. And I hope that you've been making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. If you have not yet heard my talk on the financial tsunami, I gave it in 2005, but you know, everything we said has come to pass, and certainly you need to get the syllabus that goes with that to understand that we have a private central bank owned by bankers for the purpose of enriching bankers and, of course, obviously to destroy our economy. And this greatest transfer of wealth that has ever occurred is going on at the present time. And, of course, the Federal Reserve will not tell anybody what happened to $2 trillion. $2 trillion. The U.S. Treasury won't tell the Congressional Oversight Panel that was appointed to oversee the distribution of the TARP funds. They won't tell them what happened to the money. And you need to read their reports, and we'll be commenting on those in our latest newsletter. You must understand that this, you're seeing a transfer of wealth as from the middle class and the poor people in this country to the wealthy eliting class, what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. And that's why you need to read my book on the Brotherhood of Darkness and understand what energizes these people, what drives them, what motivates them to work towards the New World Order, the New World Financial System, the New World Religion, and the enthronement of a new world leader. And I promise you, after you've read the book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you will never again look at the world through the same eyes again. We do hope, of course, you get our talk on the Forbidden Secret, get the syllabus that goes with that. And, of course, it takes you right back to ancient Babylon and the plan that's being fulfilled to this very day. In fact, you will see the pictures all throughout Europe of the unfinished Tower of Babel. They understand what this is about. But, of course, completing the job that was started 5,000 years ago. And, of course, that has been the purpose of the secret societies and the mystery religions. You, of course, need to get our talk on the planned police state. You need to see our DVD on the world revolution. It's based, at least in part, upon my interview with the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the Cuban Revolution, when we brought Fidel Castro to power, knowing full well he was a member of the communist movement. It's based upon a book written by the Librarian of Congress, Mr. James H. Billington, entitled Fire in the Minds of Men. And, of course, it's all about secret societies. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are secret societies. But, of course, you're not allowed to know that. Or certainly Rush Limbaugh will ridicule anybody who talks about that, as will Sean Hannity. Over everybody in the media, whether they be so-called conservative or liberal, it is only here in the free press where we actually buy time, where we can get the truth to you, and this is why we need your help. To expand our ministry, to expand the number of stations we're heard on. We're heard almost over 60 outlets every single week. I wish we had 100 times that. We could really have an impact. Well, we have to be dependent upon those of you out there in the listening audience who believe in us and would like to help. So give us a call if you are number 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get copies of the things we've talked about. We've got a great new four-tape set on vaccines. They're destroying the minds and bodies of our children. Why do you think, of course, there's a epidemic of autism? It's gone from one child in 10,000 to one boy in about 65 because it's six times more common in boys. We're destroying the lives of so many of our children. Why do you think there's so much autoimmune disease and allergy and asthma in our children? Why do you think there's so much juvenile diabetes in our children? Why do we have so many problems with the health of our people and so many people developing Alzheimer's disease? Well, you need to get our update on vaccines 2009, brand new 4-CD or 4-tape set, and then please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network.